Okay. The other thing that a windy day always reminds me of is the verse that says that the wind blows wherever it wishes. You don't know where it came from or where it's going. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And it speaks of the mystery of being in the family of God, that we are one with Him and we are one with one another. But there's also a mystery involved in this process, in that the Lord works in each one of us in a unique, specific way that brings out effects that only He and us individually can bring out. And that is an amazing thing for me to think of, that each one of us who's born of the Spirit is being directed by God in unique ways, and at the same time we're connected to one another and connected to Him. So that's amazing. But one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." What followed was Jesus sharing with them what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father Prayer, which has been recited over the centuries by millions upon millions, providing spiritual focus and spiritual comfort. However, more than likely, this disciple who asked Jesus to teach him to pray was asking Jesus for more than the words for a single prayer, but rather how to cultivate their personal connection with God as they had seen Jesus doing and had seen John the Baptist's disciples doing as well. So beyond the specific words of that incredible prayer, the Lord continues to teach those who ask Him how to pray. That is, He continues to teach us how to be engaged with Him in a substantive and a satisfying way. He continues to help us customize and expand our approaches to connecting with Him. In other words, teach us to pray is an ongoing learning experience in the Lord for those whose heart's desire is to seek Him. So I wrote this for last week's Monday Morning Boost. And that's what today's message is all about. It's titled, A Step Towards the Lord. Last week we looked at a step with the Lord, and I said this week we will be looking at a step towards the Lord, and next week we'll be looking at a step for the Lord. A step with the Lord had to do with us understanding that He's with us, understanding that He'll never leave us, that we're secure in His love, that the Scripture is very, very clear that once we open our lives up to Jesus Christ and say yes to Him, that He comes to live inside of us and He is with us every step of the way, and that He brings not only love, but as we saw last week, He brings His affection. And we looked at how affection is a different slant on love, that love can be very committed, but it can be antiseptic and sterile, whereas affection has to do with getting involved with where you are emotionally and getting down into the down and dirty, the everyday, the it's this way aspects of life. And we talked about last week how the Lord wants to use each one of us as a conduit of His affection to one another. And we had a long discussion about the political aspect of this in terms of how God sees the church in this political climate. So I'd encourage you to listen to last week's message if it's online now. Is it on? Is it up? And it is? Good. Fantastic. So I would encourage you to listen to that, and that will give you some context for this morning's message as well, which is a step towards Him. And let me give you a disclaimer, because a step towards him has to do with getting to know him better. A step with him has to do with understanding that he's with us and being secure in that knowledge. A step towards him has to do with getting to know him even better, growing in that knowledge of him. So a disclaimer, let's be careful and let's be reverent as we move forward in this subject, a step towards him, because the focus is on getting to know the Lord better. And I was just imagining, as I thought about this, how insulted I would be if someone gave a half-hour message on how to know Dan Beatty. I would think, you could not possibly convey what it means to know Dan Beatty in a half hour. There's a lot more to him than Michigan State basketball and football and banana pudding and fried chicken. There's a whole lot more about him. And so I think I'd be kind of highly insulted if someone gave a half hour message on how to know Dan Beatty. But so we tread carefully when we talk about knowing the Lord, when we talk about what it means and how to get to know the Lord better, because he is infinite, and thankfully he's not as thin-skinned as we are, and it's obvious that he isn't, because he's put up with a whole lot of things that we've mischaracterized him with over the centuries. Amen? So instead of how to get to know the Lord better, I decided to reframe it, and I'm presenting five prayerful considerations. Five prayerful considerations. These are things to discuss with the Lord, to talk to him about, to interact with him on in the process of getting to know him. Five things that we can prayerfully approach him with in our quest to know him better. And if you're taking notes, the main idea that I want to convey is, every step towards the Lord, every step towards the Lord pays earthly and eternal dividends. Every step towards the Lord pays earthly and eternal dividends. So let me give you this first prayerful consideration that I want you to think of and meditate on as I share it with you. First, a step towards the Lord. The first one is accepting the invitation. Accepting the invitation. Accepting the invitation to get to know him better. You know, we are directed in the book of James to draw near to God. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to us. Now, what does that mean? How can the Lord get any closer to us than he is? I mean, he lives inside of us already. How can he get any closer to us? How can he be any closer than residing in our body? Well, it's like any other relationship. You can be in relationship with somebody, and even a committed relationship of love and respect, but you can always get to know the person better. You can always grow in your knowledge of that person. So it's safe to say that we can't become more precious to the Lord. He loves us as much as he's ever going to love us. We cannot become more precious to him, but he can become more precious to us. So it's really on our part of opening ourselves up to receive more knowledge of him. And the he will draw near to you portion of that is he's willing to feed us more knowledge of himself so that we experience his nearness in a deeper way than we experience at present. So realize that the Lord is inviting us to this place of greater knowledge of himself. Now, I have what I call buffet verses. I want you to imagine being invited to the Lord's breakfast buffet, and tables extend as far as the eye can see. And this is what it means to get to know him. That we are literally at the first table on the first dish. And the Lord has invited us to enjoy the full buffet. as much as we want. And here's the proof. Here are some verses that I call buffet verses that extend the invitation. When I talk about accepting the invitation, listen to what we've been invited to. Taste and see, Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalm 81, 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Psalm 81, 16. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Psalm 107, verse 9, for he satisfies the hungry and satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. If you haven't had breakfast, you're probably getting hungry right about now. Why spend money, Isaiah 55, 2 says, why spend money on what's not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me. Eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. So when we talk about getting to know the Lord better, let's think about the invitation that he is extending. And this is just a partial list. There are many others where the Lord says, I want to give you more. And not just a little bit. I want you to be saturated and satisfied. I want you to be overflowing. And I'm not going to give you the crust. I want to give you the richest affair. I want you to open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Now, I don't know about you, but I call those my buffet verses. And I will often go to them and meditate on them. And when I've spent a bunch of time with the Lord talking about those verses and thinking about what he's extending to me, I don't know about you, but my soul says yes. I say, yes, Lord, as the song says, from the bottom of my heart, from the depth of my soul, yes, Lord, completely yes. My soul says, yes, you want to give me that? I'm all in. Let's do this. So when we think about this, the Lord's not stingy. He's not stingy. When it comes to the abundance of who he is and sharing that with us, he's not stingy. And these and many other verses show this, that there's more waiting. Wherever you are, there's more. That's what excites me. Let's giddy up, Lord. Let's go. Yes. A step towards him is accepting the invitation to the buffet and the more of who he is. It's the teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray. That's what this is about. Teach us how to experience that. Teach us how to access. You're pouring that out. Teach us. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to get there. So if you're so eager to pour that out, where's the disconnect? Teach us. It's Peter. Another example. Think of Peter asking Jesus when the waves were raging. He says, Lord, bid me to come to you. And Jesus said, okay, come on. And I get the sense that Jesus' spirit and attitude was, okay, let's go. Come on, man. Get out of the boat. Come on. Maybe we've seen movies on TV and stuff, and come to me, you know, kind of thing. But I think Jesus was a person, and they liked him. He was well liked. So I get the sense that he's okay. You come on. And so Peter gets out, and the Lord encouraged this. You know, I mean, the Lord didn't command Peter to come. He never said, Peter, I command you, come to me. Peter came up with this on his own. He said, Lord, let me come to you. And the Lord said, okay. So we see the Lord encouraging that exploration, that, okay, you believe that I can do this, you want to go there with me, come on, let's go. He honored it, even if Peter kind of messed up halfway. Peter didn't know what he was bargaining for. That's sort of like us, you know. But I'm just encouraged by just looking at that profile of Jesus encouraging that kind of exploration. Secondly, consider this. All other ground, as we get to know Jesus, why? All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. One major incentive that I have for seeking to get to know the Lord better is the uncertainty of life. Life serves up quite an assortment of things, doesn't it? You don't know what's in that bag when you open it up. And it's just being life. It's just life being life. You know, just think about how many of us are in our situations are exactly what they thought, what we thought they would be, even a year ago. Somebody said 5 months, 5 minutes ago. Because even if we haven't changed, even if we navigated over the past year and we're exactly where we thought we would be and where we wanted to be, life has changed all around us. People that we thought would be here are not. Situations of our friends and loved ones have changed. Health, finances, deaths, a lot of stuff. Status quo is a misnomer. No such thing. No such thing. Everything is always changing. The only thing that does not change is the Lord himself. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. And I am so glad that he doesn't. Because that's why he's, according to the scripture, that's why he's called the rock. He's the refuge. He's the rock. He's going to be there through all of our ups and downs and all of our iterations of self. I think back to my days of those blue polyester bell bottoms. And I had a pair. And don't laugh, you had a pair too. A couple pair. You know, you just think back on your life. Think back on where you've been and all the, not just the way that you dressed back then, but even the way you thought back then and the way you acted back then. That's why we get excited when we sing that song, When I Think About the Lord. You know, how he turned me around. I needed to be turned around, you know. I needed a course correction, and I still need course corrections. You see, we're on the road. We're on the road. The moment that we came to know Christ, we're on the road. But we're always going to need course corrections, and the Lord is going to always be there. He remains the same. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. People will change. And some of the change has nothing to do. I mean, some people change and they turn on you and become an enemy you never thought that they would. Never imagined that you'd be in an alienated relationship with this person. How in the world did that happen? Never saw it coming. And some of the change has nothing to do with anybody's intentions to not be there for you. Sometimes they have the best of intentions. Peter wanted to be there for Jesus. He wanted to be. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. And even those who are loyal and faithful, and I'm going to be there, they can't guarantee that because they can't guarantee their own life. No matter how desperately they would like to be. The only person that can promise us forever, I'm sorry, K Jewelers. The only one that can promise us forever is the eternal one. Paul said, everybody deserted me. Where would he have been if it hadn't been for his relationship with the Lord? He said, everybody deserted me, but the Lord stood with me. My brother, I ask you to pray for my brother. My brother, who is the brother I'm closest to, is like a father figure to me, is in the hospital. He suffered from a stroke a couple weeks ago, and he's really trying to battle, you know. And he was always there for me, always there to pull me out of the fire and put me in the fire. He's always there, you know, but he can't be there for me now. I want to be there for him. But I can't be there for him the way that he would really want me to be there for him. See, life, I don't care how much you got. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your retirement portfolio looks like, your investment portfolio. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how secure we think we are. Life changes in the blink of an eye. So the Lord says, get to know me. Because when life changes, I will remain the same. You see, I am not subject to the same forces that everybody and everything is subject to. You see, I am the Lord of all. And if I say I'm going to be there, I will be there. Invest in knowing me. Invest in knowing me. That's why the psalmist said, you are my portion, Lord. You are my portion. The nearness of the Lord is my good. Number three, consider that all energy spots are fellowship opportunities. All energy spots. What do I mean by energy spots? That thing that either excites you or terrifies you. That thing that fills you with joy or fills you with rage. The energy. All energy spots, whether they're negative or positive, whether it's something that feeds our soul or something that feels like it depletes our soul. Any energy that comes into our lives is a fellowship opportunity. And consider looking at it that way rather than this horrible thing has come into my life. It's energy. And God can use that energy in a constructive way, whether that energy is negative or whether it's positive. Don't judge yourself. look at it as a learning opportunity, as a discipleship opportunity, and the learning that's taking place is what's happening in my relationship with Him, primarily. Trust in Him, it says in Psalm 62:8. Trust in Him at all times. Pour out your hearts to Him. For God is a refuge for us. You see, whatever energy comes into your life and fills your heart, and it's a mixed bag on a given day. It could be anger. It could be frustration. It could be fear. It could be exasperation. Whatever it is, if it's in your heart, the Lord says, pour it out before me. Pour it out before me, because I'm not a judge. I am a refuge for you. I'm a refuge for you. So when that energy comes calling and it seems that it's going to take you out or take you down or take you, don't be afraid. I think that's one of the things Jesus said more than ever, more than anything else. Don't be afraid. Horrified, terrified, don't be afraid. So look at those energy spots as fellowship opportunities. Told the Lord not too long ago, Lord, I'm giving you my anger. I'm giving you this angry energy. And I'm asking you to convert it to a positive effect. And the idea that I had was like, Lord, here it is. It's like a water. You're the water treatment plant. And here comes the sludge. And you're the one who treats it, converts it, purifies it, cleanses it, turns it into something useful, something even that could be refreshing to somebody else, something that someone else could even drink and be satisfied with. So I'm bringing it to you, Lord. You are my water treatment plant, even when I'm bringing sewage. That's what you do. That's what you do. How in the world could having that kind of relationship with the living God not make us say, yes, I want more? Scripture says, cast all of your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. See, this is about the Lord wanting to protect our joy, to protect our joy in Him. You see, the joy of the Lord, you know, the joy of the Lord is not just a big smile on our face, big cheesy smile. It's not Christianese. Sometimes we get joy mixed up. We you know, we do. We think it's sing-songy. Really? Seriously, we think of it as this superficial kind of gooey, ooey thingy. But that's not what the joy of the Lord is, you see. It's not the kiddie Sunday school song, I got the joy, 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 joy. Down. It's that, but so much more. Okay, it's that, but so much more. You see, it seeps into our being and it insulates us. It insulates us from having a wrong perspective of what's happening to us. It doesn't necessarily change our feelings right away. It changes our perspective. And when our perspective changes, we move to a place of faith. And the joy of the Lord has to do with trusting in Him. And not being blown away by what's happening to me. It has more to do with faith than it has to do even with feelings. It has to do with being in a different place where even though this is not okay, I am okay. And I am excited that I have a Savior who makes me okay. And that gives me joy. if the what's happening to me may not feel good, but I have a Savior who sits with me, who works with me, who ministers to me, even in this. And you see, that's why the scripture says, the joy, says in Daniel, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your strength. It's the birthright joy. It's the birthright of every Christian. And it's the lifeblood of effective Christian living. You show me effective Christian living and there is joy. There's joy. A step towards the Lord involves learning to enjoy the Lord. And it's a learning process that comes through engaging him in the assorted deliveries that life brings to us. Number four, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. There's a reason Jesus said, keep on knocking, keep on asking, and keep on seeking. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it'll be opened. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Yes. Say, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Now, we know this is a good thing, right? Yeah. We know that getting to know the Lord better is a good thing. We don't have to wonder about that. Some of the things that we ask for, we wonder about. Even as we're asking. I really, really want this, Lord, I think. As best as I can tell, kind of. But we know that he wants us to enjoy his bounty. We know that he wants us to grow deeper in our connection with him. You see, there's nothing better in life. The scripture says your loving kindness is better than life itself. And we know he's inviting us into that. So when we pray, we can ask with confidence. We can seek. We can knock with confidence. Because the Lord has extended the invitation in so many powerful and attractive ways. Gives us confidence to keep on asking. We know that he wants it for us. We know that he wants it for us more than we want it for ourselves. It's delightful to him to hear us asking him, Lord, we want to know you better. When we are seeking him, it delights him. It delights him more than it delights me when my grandson says, hey, Pop, what you doing? And he runs to me and he gives me a hug and I pick him up and he puts his head up. He just wants to be with me. It's more delightful to the Lord than that. And that's a lot of delight. Yeah. It's that affection. Now, let me say, you're not going to always feel that kind of affection. So don't think that you're missing something when you say, okay, I got that, Pastor, but I'm not always feeling that kind of affection. I give it out, but it ain't coming back. Right? Amen? We can be honest. I'm being honest. You won't always feel that kind of affection coming from him. Or be able to detect it in your circumstances by looking around. These circumstances, Lord, feel like anything but affection to me. That's okay. Pour out your heart. You see, that's energy. That's the energy of discouragement. That's the energy of disillusionment. That's the energy of disappointment. That's the energy of fear. You're not going to always feel that kind of affection coming from him and not be able to detect it in your circumstances, but we can know it's there by faith. We can know it's there by faith and proceed by faith, because the righteous one, my righteous one, will live by faith. Whether I can see it or not, whether I feel it or not, it's there. And when I accept that by faith, then I am able to experience it by faith. I'm not a slave of my emotions. I'm not a slave of my circumstances. I can choose to focus on what is true. And that ministers to my spirit. We know the Lord's not being clever. We know he's not being cute or capricious with his timing and proportions of knowledge about himself that he gives to us. He's thinking about this. We're asking him to show us more, give us more. And he's saying, I am. And he does it judiciously. He does it in accordance with his knowledge of who we are. We could be junkies if we had control over it. So he does it in accordance with what he knows about us and what he wants to accomplish in us and through us. So that's how he dispenses that knowledge. Why do you think it is well with my soul was written? It's like, Lord, you know the situation here. You know what I need. You know when I need it, and I trust in you. And I tell the Lord, Lord, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have it any other way but to have to trust you for the measure of our fellowship, the means that you choose to use, the method, the meeting place. I don't want control over it. I know you want to give it to me because your word says that. And I trust your dispensing of it. The cumulative effect of seeking him is like working out at the gym. It pays off. Just keep seeking. You're on the right track. Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Faith always requires an object as its source. See, the object of biblical faith is the Lord himself. Biblical faith is not faith in myself. Well, I've got faith in myself. That's not biblical faith. It's not faith in the cosmos. I just have faith that something's just faith. Just faith out there somewhere. That's not biblical faith. It's not faith in spiritual strategies. I got this right. I got it all figured out. It's not faith in spiritual strategy or tactics. Biblical faith is always faith in the living God. He is always the object, and therefore it's always relational. It's always relational. So keep in mind that getting to know the Lord is not a technique to be mastered, but it's a relationship to be grown. Keep asking. Keep seeking and knocking, realizing that the living God is on the other end of our requests. See, in the pursuit of knowing Christ, as the prolific, lovely hymn writer Fanny Crosby expressed it, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. See, in all of our exploring and all of our knowing, we're never going to get to full and complete knowledge in this life. So as believers, ours is a progressive journey of wonder It's a progressive journey of joy, and walls become doorways. Ceilings become winding staircases, and floors open to cellars and passageways below. Discovering him is both a mystery and a delight that only begins here. It only begins here. But it's going to continue through all eternity. As the scripture says, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And five, he is so worth it. He's worth it. One of the things that one of my favorite names for the Lord when we are together is, Lord, you are my exceeding. Whatever else it is, you are my exceeding. I like lots of stuff. I do like banana pudding. I ain't ashamed. I am a fried chicken eating loving pastor. I don't care whether that's a stereotype or not. I like it. I do like Michigan State football, basketball. I do like it when they lose. I go in the tank. And my wife says, did they win or did they lose? And she approaches me depending upon how Michigan State fared. I do love you all. I do love you all. You do bring a smile to my face when I pray for you. And I do pray for you. I pray that God would bless your seeking faith, that he would give you tokens and sometimes more than tokens, that he'd give you big, big presents with bowls on them to confirm and affirm and encourage you to keep on seeking to know him better, that that's the way to go, that you're on the right. I pray that for you. But the Lord is my exceeding. Because if all of you disappeared, and you might. I don't want anybody to say, Pastor, I'm willing to follow you to death. We've heard that before. But the Lord is my exceeding. In the Psalms, he says, Lord, you are my exceeding joy. It means whatever joys I have, you exceed them. That's what a step towards the Lord is all about. Making that a greater reality in our lives. That, Lord, every step that I take towards you draws me nearer to you. And is the nearness of you that is the chief grand prize of life. It just doesn't get any better than him. Because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I'm done.